Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, one minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
I'm Duff.
Hey, it's another week. Welcome, guys. This is week number three of the Mission Impossible.
It's four.
Number two.
Four. By mission. Week four.
What?
Are we doing
week
four?
This is week four of Mission Impossible. We're not doing these out of order at all.
No.
As per our last week, we just... Oh, wait. I could hear somebody's through their headphones. Just be careful. When I talk...
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
I did. Let me...
Let's see if it's you. Maybe turn down your headset a little bit, Rob.
Is this your first rodeo, Rob?
Yeah. All right.
Jesus, Rob.
Is that better?
Sorry, there's not a computer that just...
Listen,
takes that
I have there. A disease. We've talked about
tinnitus.
This.
I have tinnitus in this ear.
It's not a disease.
You just have some disease where you can't eat bran or something. I don't know what it is. Some BS disease. All right.
Shingles.
I had shingles. It's true.
Like last week, we now have a new bit where on Mondays you get introductions with introducing musics, like in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. So today, I had to actually write intros for these people. He's got the moves that really move him. He's not your boy toy. From Tombstone Minute, then the highly popular Titanic Minute, it's Robert Lumley.
Hey! That sounds just like Shawn Michaels, right? That's just like us.
Yeah, you make me shiver, Rob. You make me shiver. This will all make sense later because it'll have the music that you picked underneath it.
I mean, also, like you can never underestimate how amazing it is that it was this Shawn Michaels theme music when he went on his own, like went off solo, but he also sang his own theme music. Do you know what kind of like balls it takes to do that?
It's the Orson Welles of wrestling.
Yeah.
All right, and that other voice. Yeah. He used to be a renegade. He used to fool around. Another side of the pyramid that is the Midnight Boys of the Titanic Minute. It's Duff. One word.
Hello.
Welcome, Duff.
Hi.
Welcome, Duff.
Thanks.
I believe.
You're a new guy on this show. The listeners know Rob and either have turned it off immediately or we'll see you next week.
No one's going to listen to this because they saw Rob was involved. But
the promotion of this, I always say who it is. And
they're like, oh, my God, it's going to be an hour long for each episode.
Yeah, I don't have time for this. My commute's not that long. Yeah, welcome to the show, guys. We're at minute 16. Minute 16 is some bathtub scenes. These were scenes that Rob actually asked for. He said, can I have bathtub scenes? I said, hey, man, sure.
Antics.
Whatever you want. Antics.
He's always up for some antics.
Mm-hmm. Bathtub mm-hmm. antics.
We have a tub girl here, if you will.
You can find out more at tubgirl.com.
Is that site still running?
I don't know. I'm not checking. Yes. I'm not going to check.
I'm not. Check my internet.
Let your
if I use on a work computer, be careful.
Don't let your listeners check
for,
that out.
For listeners who weren't in college in the very early aughts, don't go looking that up.
No. It's a real lemon party.
Well, most of our listeners are probably in school in the aughts, in the early aughts and the 90s, because it seems to, we have a very specific fan base for these minute by minute podcasts. This minute begins with Thandi Newton, who we met in it last week in Va 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 Voom. She is fantastic. She's a great actress. She's good looking. She's interesting. This is such a refreshing thing after we talked about this last week. She's so refreshing after having Claire as our femme fatale.
She's certainly not a lamppost, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, she's fantastic. She's not a lamp at all. No. Yeah. This minute, it begins with her and she's on Ethan's face and ends with a bunch of alarms. What?
You wanted to keep it, you know, from being going blue and you went right for it right away.
No,
she's on his face.
There's no blowing in this. No.
Oh, man.
I have in my notes very prominent hoots.
Yeah. This John, is one of those
John
shots
Woo
that
perfectly framed those boobs.
Yeah, it's didn't need to be honest.
Nope, it does not help the scene.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think it helps the scene perfectly. You know,
there's only one thing it moves forward, and that's we can't talk about all this.
How Okay, Chris, I'm sure you know this. Where, like, how are they, where, how is she standing for them to get this shot?
I have no idea. That's a good question, because she's like, like, weirdly on there, you know? It's, I mean, it's obviously a set, so, you know.
Yeah, it must be a set with a fake. I assume the bathtub comes apart.
Yeah, or the wall's gone, you know.
Or that's just a bathtub, like half
a tub.
Yeah, and that doesn't really.
No, I thought you were talking about
the boob shot?
Yeah. I thought you were saying that she, like, it's just a mannequin of Thandi Newton that they just removed the head from and just mount the camera where the head should be.
You know, they had the camera. The camera must have been like off to the side of her, like right next to her head, and her head's probably angled off to the right so that way you can get the shot.
How awful for her to have that.
This is a very Breaking Bad shot, what they're doing, where like they would have camera angles from mailboxes and stuff like that. Except here, it's just solely for the purpose of boobs.
Yeah. There are a lot of, in this minute alone, very interesting stylistic choices by John Woo.
Yeah, well, this whole week runs the gambit from dark close-up, wet ground, sunrise, to car chase.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre
Carfu. That's mix. What it is. It's Carfu.
It's Carfu. It's there's yeah, your Carfu is very strong.
Carfu, but
that's
is
later. That's later this week.
This scene does have the smash zooms into their faces that Woo is very like very very big on, because he did it in almost every one of his Asian films, and of course Face Off and Broken Arrow. And
didn't Bruce Lee help invent that that type of shot?
Oh yeah, yeah, movies? Definitely. I mean, it's a huge thing in Asian cinema. So yeah,
they added it also so he would look faster.
Yeah,
but by making that rack zoom really quickly,
yeah,
it makes things happen like like, you know, like it's like a it adds motion.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, and here, it Woo kind of, you know, co-opted it for his own style and sense of to give urgency to the scene as opposed to speed. He's showing the urgency of what's happening, or the danger of it, if you will.
Well, like we learned last week, they jump in the tub because the guy who owns the place comes in to go use the bathroom to take a dump, I guess.
He wasn't gone that
long. He's changing jackets, too.
Yeah, changed jackets. And quit. Yeah. He might have dribbled on himself and had to switch jackets.
Yeah. Mm.
So,
Dios mio.
So, here's my question. I mean, assuming we don't know what happens, like, this is not a great plan. Like, how'd they think this is, like, you know, let's just pretend that they thought they were actually hiding. Like, how...
You're new to the Mission Impossible movie breakdown. Guess what? It's never a good plan.
Okay. Fair enough.
Even like, this, you know, you mentioned those whip pan shots are meant to sort of, like, build tension and like panic, but there's no panic whatsoever in our leads here. Like,
no.
This whole thing is very like so chillant. This is going to be a theme for me all week. I don't like this Ethan Hunt.
Oh, you don't like smarmy,
long-haired Ethan Hunt?
I like the long hair.
We call him Sleethan.
Sleethan. Okay.
He's we met him on the plane when he was someone else was portraying him, but he's still Sleethan. He's sleazy Ethan. It's not good. It's this cockiness that's almost like, hey, I know what's going on and everything is all under control. And she's like, well, I'm under control too, so you can't make me feel weird. But they're sitting on top of each other. They've never met. This is the first time they've ever even seen each other.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And they're already flirting.
I was going to say that this is very pre-9/11 Mission Impossible. Like, there is no sense of real danger. It's like, hey, everything's great. Let's just flirt. Let's just hide in a bathtub. Like,
hey, I'm a white guy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Mr. Hunt, we need to look into your background about your abuse allegations to these women that you've been bringing on board.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I was very excited to jump back into Mission Impossible 2, and just rewatching the first 20 or so minutes last night, I was like, man, what a dumpster fire. Just an absolute mess.
Full disclosure, I did not watch all of this again because I didn't have time. I watched the first half hour or so, but otherwise, I don't think I've seen any of this movie since the theater.
Oh, you're like me. I saw this originally the one time, and only for this podcast have I watched it again.
The only things I remember about this movie are extreme motorcycle fights and the Metallica song video tie-in, which I don't know if you talked about yet, but that's pretty much my biggest association.
That's the one where they're on top of the mountain that he's climbing.
Yes.
We haven't gotten to that one yet.
And at the end of the music video, spoiler, but there's a cameo by Sleethan.
I think the fact that there was like a 2000 Metallica song for this is everything about this movie.
Yep, it's the commercialization in this movie. There's not a lot of like product placement.
It feels
like a
music video.
2000. It does the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one saving grace for it is at least it didn't have a music video or a song from Kanye West like the third one does. I'm good with
that's
that.
That's just because he was probably in grade school when this movie came out.
Does the third one have a Kanye West song?
Yeah, in the credits.
Which song? Is it like just for Mission Impossible?
No, he like wrote it for Mission Impossible, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I need to listen to that song.
We'll have to get to that,
that one next year
from now.
Later on. Yeah. Save that.
But yeah, no, Wu was trying to go for a whole To Catch a Thief.
Yeah.
You know, this notorious
thing. Has he ever seen To Catch a Thief?
Yeah, apparently he has, yeah.
Wasn't there a remake of To Catch a Thief released around this era, or am I just making that up?
There was a remake of Gambit, I think.
Yeah, it's called To Catch a Predator. It's much different. Much different. There's a guy that wears like, he looks like a bush, and he's waiting outside.
Who plays the Grace Kelly part?
Spigot!
some guy with wine coolers and a bunch of Swisher Sweets. I don't know.
Swisher Sweets.
So can we dive into and try
the
to figure out
predators.
As one does in Mission Impossible, what the hell is happening here? Like what?
That's the whole point of what we're going to do.
Okay. All right.
Don't take over my show. It's not your show.
Not yet.
It will be tomorrow. Not yet. When you warn me down, I just can't handle it anymore. Basically, yeah, let's break it down. They're in the tub. What are they doing in the tub?
Hiding.
At first, yeah, it seems like they are hiding, but she opens up a secret panel that looks like the Hellraiser cube. And
Cenobites come rushing out.
Yeah, it's like it's the bizarre Cenobite holding
Bone dragon swoops in.
Bone dragon. And she's trying to pick this lock, and they're just talking. And he's being Sleethan, and he's like, hey, don't move. He's like, I'll go where you tell me to.
Yeah, she says, she's like, this is disconcerting. And I'm like, what is disconcerting? Like, from what I could gather, there was three options. She went to do one of them, and he was just like, not that one. And she's like, oh, where is it? He's like, the one to the left. Like, oh, wow, way to figure out that brain buster. Someone's been playing brain teasers or something to figure out that one. There's only three options. It takes her a second to pick the lock.
Although in the script, it's funny, the script actually has her have a problem with the lock.
But she doesn't hear.
No. She doesn't. She doesn't have a problem with it. And also, he just tells her where it is. He says it's the one
always
on the left.
Mansplaining.
Yeah.
listen, sister. This is where the Bulgari necklace. They're going after a necklace that... This rich guy, okay, let's break this down. Rich guy had a wife.
A wife?
Rich guy had a wife, and he gave her a Bulgari necklace. But now they're divorced, so he took back the necklace, and he said, I'm going to sell this necklace, but I'm going to put it in the safest place possible.
My bathtub.
Weird.
This is from the script. It's not. There was always a bathtub safe.
Okay. That's why I'm keeping all the jewelry that I'm taking in the divorce. It's all going into the bathtub.
Which makes me think that this comes from something John Woo or Robert Towne knows personally.
Robert Towne probably Robert knows Towne personally this, yes.
Definitely knows some knows sleazy L.A. producer who has a bathtub safe.
Robert Evans is probably the one because he's worked with him the most.
Gross.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. That thing would be so dank. Can you imagine what those Bulgari necklace smells like?
The kid stays in the bathtub.
First, this necklace looks like it's a candy necklace from a carnival. It was kind of ridiculous.
It looks like a necklace that I almost said Martha Quinn medicine. Martha Quinn. So many things mixed up together.
You know, Martha Quinn, she was a frontier woman that was excellent with crafts.
Yeah. And she created like the first music video out of sticks and
Zales
and
charm bracelet you get your mother, and then she's so mad because now she has to wear this crappy
or the boobs and butt necklaces from what's her name, Jane Seymour. Yeah,
that's who he's talking about.
Jane Seymour. That's who I was going for.
That's who he's going for.
Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. Yep.
Yeah. Martha Quinn was an MTV VJ.
I know.
Really?
That's why I said she. Yes. She pioneered, you know, the pioneer music video.
Yeah. I'm learning so much here. I did look up how much the cheapest necklace I could find for is it Bulgari or like Vulgari?
It's Bulgari.
Bulgari. I was way off.
I didn't know what it was either because it was in all caps, and I'm like, what is Bulgari?
Well, they've got that pretentious V. It's Bulgari. Mm. It's not BV. It's BU. But it's like an ancient term. But in the script, it's Bulgari.
It's one of those.
I don't know how I feel about pretentious V's.
This is one of those brands where if they don't sell it at Kohl's, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, I looked. The cheapest one I could find. Most of them start around $2,500 for a necklace.
Okay.
I did find the cheapest one. It was a silver one. It's $650, and shockingly, it's named Save the Children.
I don't want no charity, like, charity necklace.
It's either a charity necklace or it's meant to be like, listen, if you want to save some money for your children, buy this one instead of one of the other more expensive ones.
Well, we'll find out later how much this one's worth. This is worth about a quarter of £1,000,000, so that's a pretty expensive necklace.
Yeah.
It's gross. Naya pulls the necklace out. Looks at it and sticks it down her brassiere.
Yeah.
In the front.
I don't know where it fits. She looks like she's painted into that dress. I mean,
she's wearing a cocktail dress. So, yeah, this is really the only place
she nestles it between her hoots.
I think that's she put it the same place that Bill Clinton tried to put something in Monica Lewinsky's cocktail dress.
Wow, what a one timely so reference. Timely. Yeah. Wow.
Well, if you're listening to Slow Burn this season, then it makes sense.
Oof. Wow.
Sorry, I didn't want
to. Do you have any Who Wants to Be a Millionaire references for us?
I didn't mean to Linda trip us up there. Let's just keep going.
Let's talk about America's Funniest Home Videos or something.
Do you guys think Ellen is a lesbian?
I think she may be, guys.
It's funny you say that because around this time in Tom Cruise's life, he was fighting and like suing people because, you know, there was a nasty rumor that, God forbid, they said he might have been gay.
I would like to point out to any lawyers listening that I don't believe that.
Me neither.
This is all Rob.
Also, I just love
Rob.
Who cares?
I haven't talked for the last minute, so I have nothing to say about any of it. So.
But I mean, this is like where we were in 2000 and like the late 90s, where it was like, well, we better sue him because he's saying these nasty rumors.
Was he still married to Nicole Kidman at this point?
He was.
Yes, he was.
Yes, because Thandie Newton's her best friend.
Really?
And was that's how they she
I
got
thought
the
Nicole
part.
Kidman yep. was best friends with Naomi, what's her name?
She is. Naomi Watts and Thandie Newton and Nicole Kidman are all like super duper friends.
They go clubbing together.
They used to.
They're on the posse.
Exactly.
That's what they called it.
I didn't know that. I think the reason they cast Thandie is she's probably like these two actors and actresses, these two performers are the only two in Hollywood that could both fit in a tub.
I mean, Tom Cruise still has room to dangle down there.
Well, if you look closely at it, he's got his I think it was in last week's minute, he has his feet like pushed up against the, his toes pushed up against the side of the tub. Like he's like making
giving birth,
like making it look like he's up against it completely, but he's like barely in there.
Yeah, he has his legs up like, oh, I'm such a big strapping man. Exactly. I can't fit into this bathtub. It's like if I get in a bathtub, I look like something unflattering. A
manatee.
I look like a manatee.
Yeah. Manatee.
Trying to put on a wetsuit. Just like a lot of...
I mean, you know, I'm assuming we've all, you know, bathtub romance is a thing in movies, and I don't know if anyone's ever tried that in real life. It's not great. Doesn't work
it's
out.
Not, you normally drown the other person. Yeah. One of you gets drowned.
I mean, I'm 6'1". Rob, you're taller even.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not fun. No. A lot of cramping.
Yeah, I've tried the shower thing. Don't really try the bath thing. I think still water, like Like, no, that's not a thing I want to do.
I really just prefer an open field where there's no constraints.
that's what Rob does. Rob's from Wisconsin. You guys are from Wisconsin.
I am
so you're
not.
Used to that.
I am
well,
not,
Rob
sir.
I'm from I know. I know you're not.
I'm from Minnesota. And to anyone out, you know, we're flyover country. It's all the same. So whatever.
That's funny. I just watched that How I Met Your Mother was on TV where he was having to go through Wisconsin and he couldn't stop making fun of it, Marshall, because he's from Minnesota.
Another timely reference to How to Get Your Mother. What was it called?
How I Met Your Mother.
How to Get Your Mother is a popular subgenre on the internet.
Oh, no.
Exactly. How to Get Your Mother.
TubeGirls.com. TubeGirls.com/How to Get Your Mother.
How to Get Your Mother, Tub Girl.
At least has kind of a reference to a show that just was canceled last year.
True.
So that's pretty good.
True.
Not bad.
The other thing is just bathtubs in general. At least for me, bathtubs, even solo experiences.
No.
God. What are you talking about?
I don't like to sit in a warm pile of my own germs.
Nope.
So there has to I if it's like let's say I'm staying at a nice hotel and there's like a giant bathtub, like yeah, I'll have a soak. That sounds good.
That's even worse.
But
you don't control it.
There's bed bugs,
there
man.
Needs to be a lot of bubbles because just the way things float and move around, if you don't have any bubbles in there, it's just a mess to see.
The way things float, what is going on with your body? When you're in a tub, nothing should float. Nothing.
I have done a float tank, a sensory deprivation tank.
Oh, is it cool?
That's different, yeah.
Why is that different?
Because there's 800 pounds of Epsom salt.
But yeah, still makes you like sitting in your own filth.
No, the salt,
yeah, but
the salt kills everything.
Oh, salt. Would kill me with my Meniere's disease, guys.
Oh my God! Don't stop bringing up your stupid disease that no one has.
That's your krypton or your kryptonite. If we ever need to finish Rob off, just put him into a sensory deprivation tank, and he'll shrivel up like a snail if you put salt on it.
Well, he'll shrivel up like a snail because he needs constant feedback and love from people around him.
That's true.
So if you put him in a sensory deprivation tank, it's like
and
literally
you're not
the
you're
sun
not supposed
away.
To talk and the. It's various, I guess it depends where you go, but the one I did was 90 minutes. Rob, could you go 90 minutes in silence?
No.
Would you just flip out?
I mean, I just wouldn't understand why I would do it. This just boggles my mind.
Well, that's a good place to wrap this up. Every day, Duff, we talk about tech of the app. What is the best technology that we saw in this episode? This episode's light, but let's go into the tech of the app and see what we can find. All right, tech
of the app.
Tech.
Let's go with guest first. So, Duff, we're going to make you go first on your first episode. What was the technology?
I looked up the technology of the first thing I thought of watching this scene is how to hide an erection.
And that, how is that tech?
Let's talk about this. Technical.
Okay. All right.
Is that like a special underwear or something?
Well, I went whenever I think about I get baseball. All my answers from WikiHow. So so I went to WikiHow, and as usual, it has it's numbered and it has pictures. So one, it has lots of options: covering with clothes or objects, wear tighter.
He's wearing clothes. And Thandi Newton is on top of him.
So wear tighter underwear. Cover your crotch with a large object.
Like a piano.
Like a thief.
cover them with a long shirt.
Long shirt. He is wearing a jacket.
Tie a hoodie or sweater around your waist.
That one's going to be hard. They're in Seville or wherever.
So that one was, you know, there's levels to this, and that was kind of, that's beginner stuff. And now we're into pinning erections to your body. Pin down your erection with your hand in your pocket. Classic move.
It's like, like Dean Malenko over here.
Put your erection in your waistband.
What?
That's a terrible idea.
That's illegal, I think.
I don't know if I can do that.
I didn't write this. I'm just saying what I looked up. Cross your legs.
What was the picture with this one?
I'll send it to you. Flex your thighs to draw blood away from your erection.
Okay, that's
put
okay.
something cold yeah. on your erection. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't recommend this to Tom Cruise in this situation, but urinate.
What?
Exercise. Go to somewhere secluded until it goes away.
Well, that's the answer to everything. What do you do when you murder somebody? Go to a secluded place.
I just sent the link, so you can.
Yes, you did.
Did they have anything from like my high school days where you just like hold your books and just sort of shove it down on top of yourself?
I mean, that goes into putting something in front of you.
Okay, I suppose.
Yeah. So that's my technical. Oh, I like how number 8, the last one, is masturbate.
Shouldn't be the last one.
Well, I mean, you're kind of doing some of those steps kind of lead to it anyway. If it's already peeking out of your shorts and you're rubbing it up against something to hide it.
And you're yourself.
Halfway. You're literally halfway there. You're halfway
my favorite
there.
Picture from all of these is under method 2.
Oh, number, God, there are pictures.
Number 1, where it has the diagram of how to put your erection under your waistband.
We're going to put this up on the website.
Hell yeah, you are. Anyway, that's my tech.
Good Lord, number 1. The one. Okay. It's got like a Zipruder film JFK assassination level of drawings and configurations for the one where you put your hand in and grab it. Oh my God.
Look,
it's amazing.
This article is nothing if not thorough.
And I love that they commissioned an artist to do all these. It's not like they pull clip art for this. It's not like it's Clippy and doing stuff. It's
Clippy.
It is.
Clippy hiding an erection.
Oh no, everybody. I gotta go. See ya.
Someone made.
You could tell I've been cut before.
Someone made a cool.
Stapler's asking for
Someone who works for a content farm made a cool, like, $6 making this.
Clippy with an erection.
That's the episode title right there.
Oh, God.
Clippy with an erection, huh?
I think you've out-robbed Rob.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
That's so bad. Well, great. That's a good one. Rob, what you got, man?
I was just going to say Naya's necklace holder.
Yep, her necklace holder. You cad. Yes. All right. Next, Chris.
I think in staying with the theme of boobs, I'm going to go with the camera angle of from above her down because it's unnecessary, but it's intriguing how they did it. So I'm sure there's some sort of technical aspect to it.
Intriguing is the right word. Yep. And mine, it's funny that you brought up, you know, using WikiHow because if you've never been to this website, I don't think you went deep enough. You got to go to theartofmanliness.com.
Oh, God.
Theartofmanliness.com because I was looking up how to pick a lock because I think that's the coolest tech. I think that's a cool, it's very low tech.
Yeah.
But how you pick a lock. And the greatest thing about this article is
I just choose
is,
a good one that I think my house would be safe with.
Right. Mine's electronic, so yeah. You can't even pick it. So yeah. Nice try. The best thing are the questions of why you should learn how to pick locks, even if you're not a criminal. Mm-hmm. Some of you might be thinking, Brett, I guess Brett wrote this article.
Uh-huh.
Brett, why should I learn? Brett, Art of Manliness. Brett, why should I learn how to pick a lock?
I like beer. You like beer?
I love beer.
That woman's a liar.
Yeah, speaking of timely guys, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super timely, especially when this comes out 6 months from now.
Exactly.
Why should I learn how to pick a lock if I don't plan on breaking into people's houses? Great question. There's a few good reasons why law-abiding citizens should learn. Lock picking opens your eyes to the illusion of security. So basically, it's like you're doing yourself a favor by learning how to do this. Second is, it makes you handy. If you've ever been locked out of your house, like so I guess it's like, well, you're stupid and you're my dumb husband. Yeah, but I know how to pick a lock. I guess you're handy then.
Okay. All right.
The last one, it's cool and fun. No. There's simply a cool factor to knowing how to pick a lock. That's not good. That's exactly what criminals think. Criminals think it is cool. That is why they've learned to do it, because it gives them the things that they want.
I'm pretty sure I know how, because I've played a lot of Fallout. A lot of lock picking in those games.
Do you just hit E and it just spins? You have to
move the D-pad. You have to, the whatever on the Xbox controller, you have to move them just the right way. It's hard.
Moving the D-pad was one of the steps in your how to stop an erection.
I hope you guys can come back with this bit of incels explained next week as well.
I knew you just wanted to get that word out one time. Hashtag Titanic Minute, hashtag incels. Well, those are all good. As good as we're going to get Tech of the Apps for this episode. So we're going to wrap it up. Guys, on Mondays, we like to do our plugs. So I know you guys are both on the same podcast.
We also like to wear orange on Mondays.
Stuff, yep. All of us are wearing orange, by the way. Except Rob.
Except me. So as Jonathan said, Duff and I previously did Titanic Minute. But currently, we have a new show out called A Free Podcast, where we talk about movies in interesting ways. Our first season will be in probably completed by the time this comes out, I'm guessing. But we're talking about Fail Sons and looking at a different movie every week around the topic of Fail Sons. So, for example, our first movie that we talk about is Gladiator.
Explain to our guests what a Fail Son is.
Duff, I think you explained it best.
I don't want to talk. No, okay.
Okay.
Our president is a Fail Son. Someone a Fail Son is someone who, if natural selection were pure and right, would just be face down.
Be thrown off the cliff.
Be face down in the gutter, but because they are born into privilege and wealth, they will stumble and flail, but still always have a certain degree of safety to fall back on. But we get to watch them attempt to navigate this world.
For our younger listeners, Rob Kardashian.
Yeah, born on third base, but will never get home.
Yes.
Yep. That was the one you did. Born on third base.
I got that from Joe. Joe is the true Fail Son scholar.
Expert, yeah.
But Rob Kardashian is a good Fail Son example.
Well, you can catch us at MinuteImpossible.com, on Twitter at MinImpossible, M-I-N Impossible, and on our Facebook group, The Impossible Minute Force. Come join us. Rob and Duff are both there, so we can talk to them, and we can look at pictures of how to stop having an erection. Well, maybe not stop, but covering it. So
they're all classy photos. There's nothing lewd about it.
They're not photos. Right. They're illustrations. Let's
even
be
better.
Photos would have been like photos. Photos actually would be terrible. I'm happy we got the illustrations. They look like safety precaution illustrations.
Yeah,
from
the
airplane.
Yeah. They'd be really hard photos to get.
Well, if it's hard, Rob, you just put it in your waistband.
Yeah.
And
you're good. You're right. You're right.
So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Rob.
I was Duff.
This minute will self-destruct in 2 seconds.
Well, we went to 2 seconds this time. Wow, that's short.
I just did that. I've never said 2 seconds once.
See you next time on the show. It's